I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach, and I hope that the burden that I have in my heart, my spirit, is expressed to you in the same manner in which I feel it. We are living in some crazy times, and as the church, we cannot allow ourselves to be dismayed or overwhelmed or encumbered because of what is happening around us. And we must rely upon the strength of the Lord and upon the active moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And so as a church and as a body, my prayer is that we would abound in the Holy Spirit and that the Lord would be moving amongst us, and individually that we would sense His presence on a daily basis, helping us, leading us, and empowering us to be the effective body of Christ. Amen. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do not believe the true church of God is going to be crawling into heaven and just sighing a breath of relief that we made it there. I believe He's got a church with a mission and with a goal in mind, and He will accomplish what He desires to happen amongst His body. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, one verse this evening, verse 19 is our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 19. Now this chapter, if you're ever wanting a chapter to preach a series out of, whether, you know, a series of lessons or sermons, this would be a great chapter to take. There's so much depth involved in each of the verses here, and you could pick just about anything, but I felt drawn tonight to preach out of verse 19, and I pray the Lord would help us. Amen. I want us to read this together. It's a short verse, but if you would, as a congregation, let's read it together. Quench not the Spirit. Let's do that one more time. Quench not the Spirit. I want to preach to us tonight on being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can be seated tonight. I appreciate you standing in honor of the Word. There is a common vocabulary that can happen if you've been raised at all in a church lifestyle. And if you're not careful, you can use that vocabulary so freely that those that haven't been raised in church, or those that are new to the faith, or maybe visitors, may not really understand what exactly you're talking about. But there's idioms that we've become accustomed to. And for the most part, I hope that we know what we're talking about and not just throwing around stuff to say. But if I were to say, so-and-so had the key to the service, what would we mean by that? Sister Dearth, what would we mean by that? If I said so-and-so, they had the key to the service. They obeyed God. They obeyed the Lord. You're exactly right. And I have heard that growing up from a child. So-and-so obeyed God. So-and-so had the key to the service. And it just become familiar, but we don't really hear that phrase too often anymore. The reality was that somebody in that service, in that church, in that setting, had walked so closely with the Lord, and they were so sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that Sister Deb, when the Holy Spirit began to direct that service, they were in tune. And they just went right with where the Spirit of the Lord wanted them to go. Right? And all of a sudden, because of obedience, or because of just following the moving of the Spirit of God, that service seemingly broke open, and people got help, and lives were changed, and revival, in most cases, was started because somebody was obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aren't you thankful for those moments? But I also remember a service growing up, and it's been etched in my mind when we were having a great service, and it felt like one of those moments where it could just go like that, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it seemed like it died. And it was weird, you know, it felt like it was about to just, you know, Pentecostal, you know, worship, and all of a sudden just whoosh, put it in low gear. And a few minutes later, somebody stood up and said, I need to say something. I didn't obey the Lord. The Lord was asking me to do something and I didn't obey and I need to ask for forgiveness. And then all of a sudden, no sooner did they stop, but somebody over here on this side said, I need to tell you, I didn't obey the Lord either. And another person said, you know, I didn't obey the Lord either. And it became a service of confession, but all in their repentance and public confession, the Lord began to move again because they were admitting the Holy Spirit was prodding them and ushering them into do something. And because of their lack of obedience, what happened? He stopped moving. Right? There was an opportunity given, but that opportunity was dependent upon obedience. Hallelujah. You know, Paul was telling this church in Thessalonia, there's a lot of great things that can happen. You can rejoice evermore. You ought to be praying without ceasing. Don't forbid prophesying. But he gave them a great and clear admonition. Do not, for any reason, quench the Spirit of God. Now, does that mean, Brother Cruz, that we are literally stopping the Holy Spirit from doing what He's wanting to do? Absolutely not. You cannot stop God and His agenda, but you can withdraw yourself from being a part of that plan. You see, God's going to accomplish what He wants to do, but thankfully, He wants to work and minister in the body of Christ to accomplish it. And so you might have an adult, the Holy Spirit be dealing with them. I want you to be obedient. I want you to do something. And they say, oh, Lord, not now. That's not me. I can't do that. And so He withdraws Himself from that person and seeks another vessel. And it might be a young person. I want you to obey. I want you to do this. And we say, oh, God, we can't do that, and it withdraws Himself and moves, looking for an obedient vessel. Quench not the Spirit. It literally means don't subdue what He's trying to do. Don't be unresponsive to the working and the guidance that He's trying to give. Or better yet, don't interject yourself into a place of authority. Over His authority. You know, the reality is, and it's for us and it's for the church at large, the Holy Spirit wants to work amongst us. Amen. And we need Him to work amongst us. Church, we can't perform well enough to do a work in this last hour that will be effective at winning souls and at seeing people delivered. No, we must have the active moving of the Holy Spirit in every service, in every Sunday school class, in every song. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work. Amen. And I want to be a part of His work. Now, Paul wrote also in Romans that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in what? Believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We need that power. We need the power when the choir's singing. We need the power in the preaching. We need the power in the altar service. We need the power in evangelism. We need the power of the Holy Ghost when somebody comes in and needs deliverance. We need the power of God at work in our lives. Don't quench it. Now, what can we do that would hinder and make us not sensitive to His moving? I believe there's three very important things that we need to be aware of in our own lives and be on guard of so that we don't quench the Spirit. First thing I think that we see in the Word is pride. Pride will hinder the Holy Spirit working in our lives. James in chapter 4 and verse 6 said, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now the context of that is talking about, our sins and making sure we're covered and under the blood, but that truth is there. God resists the proud. You want to know a quick way to quench the Spirit is to act like you don't need Him. to behave in a manner that says, I'm fine, I don't need any extra help, I don't need to respond to His moving, I've got too much pride to mess up my hair, to look out of order, I can't dance under the Spirit, I can't worship freely, what would so-and-so think about me, where would I look in the quality of people's opinion, no, I can't do that, I'm too much too shy, I've got too much going for me to be, it's pride, and it will rob you of the opportunity to know the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. God resists the proud. Oh, but He does draw near to those that are humble. Say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't sing on my own. I can't witness on my own. I don't have the words to say. But Lord, if You'll enable me, I'll do the very best that I can. God draws close to a heart that is full of humility. What's something else that might quench the Holy Spirit's work in our lives? It's disobedience. He asks us to do something. That opportunity is not guaranteed to happen again. He's looking for an obedient vessel. Titus 1 and 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Listen to this. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. The Holy Spirit is looking for an individual that will be obedient to the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us in John that the Holy Spirit is sent by God to be a comforter and to testify to who Jesus Christ is. He is the extension of God at work in our earth today, and He is looking for obedience that will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And so when He's moving in the service, or He's moving in our home or in our job, and we feel that tugging at our heart and that still small voice, it is in that exact moment that we are to be obedient and responsive to His moving. How many times, and just like a show of hands, have you ever been doing something completely unspiritual? I mean, you might be in the store, you might be working, you might whatever, and all of a sudden you just feel that pricking in your heart. You need to pray for somebody. Can I see your hand? Brother Zach, I was in service one night, and I was up on the platform here, and instantly I felt that you need to, and please don't use this as a general rule, but immediately felt a call, you need to text so-and-so right now. And tell them, I'm coming back soon and you need to get your heart right with the Lord. That's a very direct text. You know what I mean? Don't send that unless the Holy Spirit's working on you, all right? Because you need to get your life right. But I just knew the Holy Spirit was nudging me, and so I stepped aside, text this individual. And it was either later that night or the next day, they called me and said, I don't know how you knew, but I was about to do something very, very wrong, and their words, very stupid. And right before I did it, I got your text. Jesus is coming soon. You need to get right. He said, I didn't do it. And I want to thank you for being obedient. You know, and it's in those moments where God is wanting to work in your life. You say, man, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to go about it. Can I tell you, the Lord is not asking for you to know it all. He's just asking for you to say yes to what He is wanting you to do. He will anoint you to do what is not possible by our own means and ability. He wants obedience. Obedience. Those that they profess that they know God, but they deny Him in works and in disobedience, the Holy Spirit will not work through them. He withdraws Himself from the disobedient because what that says is, I do not need to follow your authority. And I believe the Holy Spirit works through authority. He falls upon those that are humble and trust in Him to do what He's asking us to do. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5, the same chapter, but a little bit lower down in verse 21. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a choice. To withdraw yourself from something that would be a violation of God's word is a choice. I must abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the third thing that can quench the Holy Spirit's working in our life? It's sin. It's sin. Partaking in the things that separate us from the very God that we say we love. It puts a barrier between him and us, and that sin is a violation. And notice here that in the fifth chapter, he said, hold fast to that which is good. Right? Get away from those things of the world. Get away from the fleshly attitude. Get away from carnality and seek God. Hold fast. Do the good thing and abstain even from the appearance of evil. Why? Because we desire the Holy Spirit to work in us. You know, there has to be some level of hunger in the life of a true believer that wants God's Spirit to be near to them, to rest in Him. And it ought to alarm us when the things that we are doing or caught up in are the very things that would separate us from the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives. You know, I've been there before when I didn't do everything just right, or I sinned, and you come into service and maybe haven't taken care of it, and all of a sudden that liberty to worship's not there anymore. You know, and that freedom of expression is no longer there. Why? Because sin puts up a stop from us entering into that anointing and entering into His fellowship. But oh, what a joy it is when we take care of that thing at the altar and lay it down and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn away from it. And all of a sudden we recognize one more time that anointing, that Spirit of God and the liberty that comes with it. His Word tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Maybe it's been a little while since you felt the liberty of the Holy Spirit in your worship, in your witness, or in your walk. It might just be that there's something in our lives that is quenching His moving, but the Lord is able to tell us that. David said in the 51st Psalm, search me, O God, and know me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to know that you're right with the Lord and that the anointing of God rests on your life? We need the liberty of the Holy Spirit in our worship. We need the liberty of the Holy Spirit in our walk with Him and in our witness. Oh, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the Lord, or was prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon Christ, because He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. It was prophesied in Isaiah, and the Lord read that very word in the temple and began to tell them, this day is this fulfilled in your ears. But beloved, I've come to tell us tonight that the Lord no longer is dwelling in the temple of God that was made by man's hands, but He desires to fill the temple of man in our heart. And the very same calling that He called God to do was to deliver people. We must have that anointing in our lives. It must dwell on us to see people changed. A program will never suffice unless the anointing is behind it. Amen. There's no event that we can do that will ever win souls unless the anointing is behind it. But oh, when the anointing of God gets involved, I'm telling you, even a puppet can be used of God to win someone to Jesus. When the anointing of God gets involved, even a text message can change the heart of somebody's destiny. We can see God at work when the anointing of God is happening. Jesus dwells in our hearts. If we've been born again, we live in Him. We move in Him. Our daily activities reflect Him. And if He lives in us, then His mission is our mission. To preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the year of the Lord. That's our mission. None of those will ever be fulfilled without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But oh, if we would be open to Him, if we would be in tune to Him, sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. You know, I would love to see one of our young people moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I'd love to see an elder. Maybe it's been a few years, brother and sister of age. Maybe it's been a few years and you say, you know, I just don't have that energy anymore. Can I tell you, there have been multiple stories of elders that God got a hold of and the liberty fell because they were obedient to the Spirit. I'd love to see some adults, amen, that maybe it's been just a long time since you just felt that freedom of worship, that expression of liberty. But oh, to be reminded what it's like to worship under the Holy Ghost anointing, amen, to respond to the moving of the Spirit. And it might just very well be that in your Sunday school class this coming up Sunday, that all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to move upon the people, and instead of sitting back, we go ahead and run on in. Amen. When God begins to move in the singing, we respond. When God moves in the preaching, we respond. Why? Because we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But how can we be ready in this house? How are we sensitive in this house? It's by preparing our hearts in our own homes before we ever come into this place. You know, it's a great feeling in life. I don't really want to use feeling. It's a great experience in life to be able to go to youth camp, young people, already full of the Holy Spirit, and not having to pray through again. You know, I've seen in our years of working at youth camps, some that seem to, same thing every year, you know, it's the same experience. But it's a wonderful thing when you watch somebody that got a hold of something last year. You ain't seen them in, you know, a whole year, and then they come in and you can tell they've been walking with the Lord. You know, it's the same way in a house of the Lord. It's wonderful when you know somebody's already prayed up when they get to the prayer room, instead of us having to take care of things. Now here's the thing, right, that we gotta hold on to. If there's anything in our lives that is quenching the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to take care of that at the altar. And when we take care of it, ask the Lord to deliver us or help us or whatever it is, be obedient and trust that if He asks us to do something, it is for the glory of Jesus Christ. Music, why don't you go ahead and come. We're going to close with this. When Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, He prayed a prayer, "Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." Oh, He was in agony. The physical man was in agony. The pressure and the stress were unimaginable. "Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." I heard Brother George Davis preach on that nevertheless moment that every believer has to have in their life if we're going to live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's that moment that we come to where we say, "Lord, my plans don't matter, but Your plans do. my dreams and my goals and my vision of life doesn't really, it has to take a back seat because I trust in what you're wanting to do. Lord, my own abilities are nothing, but God, if you'll use me, I'll give it to you. That nevertheless moment, not my will, but thy will be done. I want the Holy Spirit moving in my life. I want Him moving in my home. I want Him dwelling with me when I'm at work and when I'm driving and when I'm out and about. I believe that He wants to move in a fresh way. And oh, to see young people and adults alike responding in the altar under the moving of the Holy Spirit. We need to see folks baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to see a fresh baptism in our young men and our young ladies. We need God to work in our hearts. I don't want to quench His Spirit. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How about you? Can we come find a place to pray? Amen. Ask the Lord to search our hearts, search our lives. Amen. So that He can move amongst us, that we are willing to say yes to the moving of the Holy Spirit.